I want us to look to the future. We've been looking a lot to the past. This congregation has a long history of strong and faithful leadership. So how do you maintain that? What's it going to be 100 years from now? When we were a young family here, Johnny Davis and Jerry Hopkins were thinking about the future. They were looking out at young men with young families, and Dan, they were looking at you. Phil, they were looking at you. And I had the feeling they were looking at me. And they were helping to mature us so that we could be leaders in the church. And I moved on. And I think the lesson there is the men and women you prepare here and mature here can move on and move on to other congregations, other places. And it'll be a blessing to the church wherever they go. And I just want to tell them, thank you for helping me in those years to mature me. Now, since I've left here, I have been an elder in three congregations in three different states. And I learned how to do some of that while I was here. There was a tragedy that happened in the history of Israel. It is found in Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 10, where the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who'd seen the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. And also all that generation were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works that he had done for Israel. I've read that passage intended to blame Joshua's generation. Why didn't they teach their children? But maybe that's been a little misplaced, because the teaching not only has to be given, it also has to be received. And something happened there where that generation went forward without that teaching. I grew up, another lawyer preacher, Guy in Woods. I can remember him teaching us how every generation needs to be taught everything, because we're one generation away from apostasy. I also remember hearing on the radio George Jones singing, "Who's Gonna Fill Their Shoes?" Now, he was singing about the country music singers that would sing on the Opry later on. But it struck a chord, because in every aspect of life, those leaders who we have looked to and depended on, they die. And then what are we going to do now that they're gone? It's not a new problem. I wonder about the children of Israel. When Moses went up on Mount Nebo and then he didn't come back. But what are we going to do? And Joshua, he gave his last speech and said, "As for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. Choose you this day whom you will serve." And they said, "We'll serve Jehovah," but they didn't. Now what do we do? What about Samuel? Well, he's turned this over to the kings. He said he'd pray for us. But now who is going to be king after David? And Hezekiah, he died. And Josiah, he was killed. And now we can't hear the voices of Elijah and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel. Now what are we going to do? James has been beheaded. Peter escaped. Well, we've lost track of him. The last we heard from Paul, he was ready to be offered. The time of his departure was at hand. And John is so old. Who's going to fill their shoes? The Bible student will know that I've just covered a period of about 1,600 years. And all down through those years, when the people were willing and the need was there, God raised up men to fill their shoes. Now God's going to take care of His church. But if we will be willing, we can become tools in His hands to facilitate that care. Now I've got 5 suggestions, and they're not just my personal suggestions. These are things that are rooted in scriptures about what we can do to see the church on into the future and to prepare men and women to fill those shoes of those we've depended on as they step out of them and go on into their eternity. Number one, preachers and teachers. If you want a strong and faithful congregation, strong and faithful leaders, you need strong and faithful preachers and teachers to preach it and to teach it. We were hearing about sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. Speak thou the things that become sound doctrine. And that in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 4 consists of godly edifying, which is in faith. In 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul told Timothy, those things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men that they may teach others also. And among the things that he told Titus and Timothy to teach and to preach, you tell them about elders. You tell them about deacons. You let them know about the work of an evangelist. Now, I'm preaching it and teaching it. We've got some tools. Let me give you something very practical. If you're taking notes, write down the name Glenn Colley and a little book he wrote called Headed to the Office. I have used this in teaching young men's classes. It shows young men how to be men of God using those very qualifications for elders to help mature them. And also the latest issue of the Spiritual Sword, if you get that, it is on elders. So look at those helps, but look to the Word and preach it and teach it. All right, practical suggestion number 2. Elders and deacons, model it. We learn from what we see. I have known those that do not know what elders do because they've never been in a church where there were elders. And they're kind of worried about having elders. Well, we need to model it and show it. And the text for that is Hebrews 13:7. Remember them that have rule over you, who've spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Elders and deacons, give us strong and faithful leadership to follow, and we will learn from you. Jerry, I learned from you, and I learned from my mind is blank. The elders that were here, Johnny, and the elders that were here, and so we need to model it and show us. Okay, the rest of us. Here's what we do, the rest of us. We honor that. Look at the words. Remember, follow, consider. Remember them that have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose face follow. Considering the end of their conversation. Look how they live. And follow that. There's more. Obey. Submit. Know. Esteem. Obey them that have rule over you. Submit yourselves and watch for their souls, that they may give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Here, let me catch up here. There we go. Now you can see the words. I'll try to remember this. Okay. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. That's unprofitable to you. And we beseech you, brethren, know them which labor among you. You need to know your elders. That's more than knowing their name. Know how they think. Know how to feel. You know, a good eldership doesn't have to call the shots very much. They don't have to exert their authority very much because the sheep know them. They're going to know. I don't think our elders would approve of this. They're going to know. This is something our elders would want us to do. And the elders don't always have to say it because they will have learned because you know them. And then it says, esteem them very highly in the love for their work's sake. And let others see your esteem for your rulers, and it will help them to be better leaders by seeing that. Now, let's go on to the next one. Parents, parents, prepare for it. Strong and faithful leaders in the church come from strong and faithful homes. We read about that with Timothy. Remember his grandmother, Lois, his mother, Eunice, from a child. He knew the Holy Scriptures, but listen to Paul in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Fathers, 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 bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And parents, as you are preparing your children, you are preparing yourself. When the Lord looks out to find leaders for His church, He didn't look for military leaders, political leaders, business leaders. He's looking in the homes. He's looking for family men, husbands, and fathers. You prove yourselves in your homes. And I'll let you lead my household. Now, young people, I want the young people to listen, and the younger you are, the more important it is to listen to this. You need to lead now. Now, you're not ready for positional leadership, but there's another kind of leadership. There's personal leadership. In the professional world, I have had positional leadership. But I learned that the most effective leadership was not relying on my position, but by providing personal leadership. All of us can provide personal leadership. And that's what the godly women in God's church have always done. They have great influence over what the church is and what it becomes by their personal leadership, not positional leadership. And young people, listen. You can do that now. And here's the text. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth. Be out an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now, Dan knows this. The older we get, the more we know this. And young people, someday you'll understand what I'm about to say. That the older we get, the more we need you. And so lead now, because you're going to fill their shoes 100 years from now. Is there going to be an anniversary, a 200-year anniversary? If there is, then it'll be my hope and my prayer that someone will come among your midst, having read their Bibles, and what they see and what they hear, they will leave and say, come and see. We have found the church of Christ of which the apostles wrote. I want to extend an invitation. We've talked a lot today about heaven. And there's many images of heaven throughout the scriptures. And I want to focus in on this one. Well, it's not here. Must have been a... Here. I bet it's here. There, I didn't handle this technology too good, did I? Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. There we go. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12. I say unto you, many shall come from the east and the west, sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. That's what I want to do. We had a meal together. Wasn't that wonderful? What if you could sit down and eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joe Holland? And I want you to sit down with me. I want to sit down with you when we all get to heaven. And so what you need to do is hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and obey the gospel. And that means to turn from every other way, repent, and confess your faith before men, and be baptized into Christ, and then live as a servant of Him until eternity calls. And if you're ready to do that this morning, that will be the great homecoming that will not end. Come forward as we stand and sing.